All right, I'm going to share five ideas from my grandmother that really stick out with me and that really embodied who she was. First off, she lived to be 105 years old, which isn't stam. And until like the last like month of her life, she had relatively good health for also her entire life. Like she never had to go into an assisted living. She never had a live-in at any point. The last month wasn't great, but you know, I think most people would sign up for 105 years of good health, and it was a tremendous bracha for us. And she got to see all her grandkids. She got to see them get married, which is also like her last one got married like shortly before she passed away. So it was which wasn't me, but it was not me. It was years before. She was in great shape at 100 at my wedding. But it was really a tremendous Hakaras Tov and appreciation to Kadosh Baruch Hu for all the years I did have with my grandmother. When my grandmother came from Europe, so most people that came to Europe and to America, they weren't educated, and they didn't know English. So and they had just gone through the war, so it was quite an oppressive time. So my grandmother was like taking a walk around Queens, and she came upon Yeshiva Central Queens, and she's like, I got to send my children there. And I don't know what tuition was at that time, but it certainly wasn't what it was today. And she had no idea she was going to pay. So she went into the school and she basically offered to, like, I'll clean the toilets, I'll do whatever I have to do for my kids to be able to go to yeshiva. I don't think she ended up cleaning the toilets, but she did help on anything that they ever needed. And it just gave me an unbelievable, before I made Aliyah, I didn't have kids in like, you know, high-end schools. I had a babysitter and a gan in America. And I paid $22,000 my final year in America for two children, which by standards isn't even so much money, which I felt was like insane, but it probably wasn't even so much. But it gave me like real appreciation what it means for your parents to be paying for you to have tuition, and for the yeshiva for whatever, and every yeshiva you've gone to that's giving assistance to make it possible, either for you or your friends. But even if you don't need assistance, the fact that yeshiva is able to do that for students is what allows I think like if YU didn't offer any like aid, they'd have like 11 kids in the whole institution. So they wouldn't really be able to offer all that much. So it's a tremendous midah like that I really took from my grandmother, like what it really means and the sacrifice that you have to do for yeshiva tuition. The second lesson I took from my grandmother was, which I guess can correlate to that, was the idea of stucca. I don't think we really live by mail anymore. It's a little bit of a pastime. But it used to be even like 5-6 years ago. I remember when I was in America, I got plenty of mail, plenty of solicitations. My grandmother never said no to anybody. And I would see like, she had like a million like envelopes waiting to be sent out, 18, 25, 36, whatever amount would be. But she never ever said no to anybody. And it was, it really embodied to me what it means, why stucca is so important. And specifically also for yeshiva. She had a probably because it was so helpful for her children being able to go to yeshiva, she had like a real place in her heart to help out any yeshiva that needed money. And it just reminded me of a great meiser from Yonason Sachs. He's a shul in Passaic. It's a Rosh Yeshiva of Landers College. That Sachs was one. Someone once asked him, a guy comes to your door to collect, and he said, I need $100,000 for your operation. So the first question is, you have to give $100,000. Don't get so nervous. The answer was no. And then the guy asked Sachs, like, what's my dollar gonna do? Well, the guy doesn't need my dollar, my shekel. Like, you know, you have 100, guy comes with 13 kids, a million tsaras. My dollar, my shekel is not really helping the person. And Sachs is, he just gets it. So he really does get it. He said, you're 100% right. Your dollar is not doing anything for that person, but it's doing everything for your children, for your family. And it couldn't be more right, because when we get a knock on our door, my kids like go run to our money and go run to give the person collecting the shekel. That guy's life is not really any different by the shekel, but my kids really seeing that, and what we saw from my grandmother, which were then passed down to my mom, and my father also had that from his parents, like seeing that idea growing up in a home like that we're not, and especially when you grow up, like you're not like a super wealthy family. Okay, you're super wealthy, you're like, okay, well, you know, what's $1,000? It's $100,000. But when you don't grow up that way, like you're just seeing that, like, yeah, it's not my money. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu is giving me money to help out other people. It just leaves an incredible, incredible impression. And obviously, Rusak's is 100% right. A third thing my grandmother held very dear to her was she was very, very anti the idea of intermarriage. So I don't remember, which I guess a lot of people could subscribe to. I don't know, that was like such a chiddush. But I don't remember when it was, and it could really be like, I think my grandmother was with us at that point. She was living with us for a few weeks at a certain point this happened. I couldn't tell you how they were related, and if they were, I wouldn't know if they were right in front of us. But we had, this isn't a racial comment, it just happens to be the case. We had a cousin who was marrying a black, okay? And the person wasn't Jewish. So I was like super liberal. My family's very conservative. So like, I don't know like how my, I'm sorry. But I don't really know how, I don't know how it went on, like from like the few moments that I was there where I wasn't like so embarrassed. Like, I don't know, my dad and them were going pretty hard at it. But like after the fact, like, I don't know, they stayed there. I don't even know why they came. But whatever it was, like, I don't think they spent the night. But, like, whenever they left, like, I was talking to my grandmother about it, and she was like breaking down. I'm like, oh, shoot. What did I do? I was done something really bad. Like, can you believe it? Another lost soul, another person intermarrying. Like, and it really hurt her. And I guess when I say, like, we could all be, oh, intermarriage is, like, sad. Like, but do we break down when there's intermarriage? Like, they're like, wow, like, I can't believe that happened. Like, a lost neshama. Like, how much of the, do we just go on in life, or does it really at our roots, like, just get us to, you know, get us to the core of, you know, of sanity. Like, I have very early bedtime, and on Friday night I take it to like the umpteenth level of having early bedtime. But on the rare occasions when it usually has to be in the winter when it's even shayach, that like I'll have a shalom zachar and I'll go out. And, like, I'm that guy. I'm the first one to shalom zachar, because when you're the first one to shalom zachar, you'll be the first one to leave. So I don't need to get there later and then stay for longer. But, like, you know, even like Sunday I'll be already, like, you know, like the ungodly hour of like 8:39 o'clock on a Friday night, and already seeing like what I'm seeing like on the street, like it really is like, it's very, very sad for me. I had one time walking with my son, and he just asked, like, he's like a group of kids, he's like, one's wearing a kippah, he's like, why are they on their phone on Shabbos? Like, I don't really have anything I can answer. I don't know. I'm like, you know, let's keep walking. I don't have an answer for that. But like, how much does it really affect us when we see something like that? And then obviously when you take it to the greatest level and you marry a different religion. The fourth thing I take from my grandmother is she was really great at controlling her anger. She like really never got upset. And if you think of the Gemara and the Nedarim talks about, like, when you get angry, it's doma t'avodah zarah, because if you think about, like, you know, when you guys were talking about hockey when we first came in, so okay, I don't really, in my generation, I don't really know so many people who follow hockey, so it's like a little strange, but I could get it. Like, it's not like the crazy, it's not the craziest thing when you were talking about. But like, if you imagine that, like, I start bowing to this, like, I think this chair has control, or a tree can control the world, you know, it's pretty much the stupidest thing you could think of. Like, Avodah Zarah as an entity, like, makes literally no sense. Like, what is it? Okay, maybe I think, you know, Ethan, you know, he's been out of, like, in America for, like, 6 months, you know, like, he can, like, save the world. Okay, maybe that, like, makes some level of sense, but to think, like, a chair or a table, like, represents anything is a little odd. So that's why, yeah, when you get angry, like, you've totally gone to a different world. It just doesn't. That's a shot in the sniper going to Parshas Ve'era, why the frogs kept becoming more and more. Like, it was one frog, but he kept hitting it, and it kept becoming more. Doesn't make any sense. Stop. If I hit you, you're going to become two people and five people, 100 people. Eventually, I'll stop. But when you get angry, you have no control over yourself. And my grandmother never wanted to get to that point. Like, it's not worth it. Like, and moreover, like, when you think about times when you get angry, how often do you even remember why you got angry or what caused you to get angry? Like, in and of itself, like, just at the root, just stop before it becomes a thing, because you're not going to really gain anything. And the last thing that my mother used to say all the time at my grandmother. I didn't really hear this so much from. I never personally heard my grandmother say this, although it was a true thing. But my mom would say this all the time, that my grandmother never lied. I could say, okay, so, you know, so she wasn't going to be good at poker. Maybe that would have been how she could have paid for yeshiva tuition. But okay, she wasn't going to be good at poker, but it's not the worst thing in the world. But my grandmother's svara for why she never, this is why I never heard her say this, was because when you lie, you just have to have an incredible memory. Because you have to keep track of what you're saying. Like, when I lie, I have to remember what I did. Like, you know, if I tell, you know, imagine, like, I don't know, imagine if Jake asks you why you're not here today. And you say, oh, my stomach was hurting me. So now you have to, and it's not true, now you have to remember that. So next time he asks you, oh, how are you doing? Oh, my head's, like, killing me. Oh, your head is with your stomach. Like, now you have to keep track. If you just say, I just needed a day off. Like, I just needed, you know, I needed a mental health day. I just couldn't do it. he might think you, okay, that's not the greatest thing in the world. It's a little pathetic, but at least you don't have to draw, at least you're not going to look like a fool who got caught in a lie. My grandmother never wanted to have that. Like, you never have, she never had to worry. Like, it's very easy to always tell the truth and to remember everything when you're always telling the truth. Like, you don't have to be somebody who you're not. And that embodied my grandmother at her fullest, that she just was herself. She was like very honest and open with who she was, and didn't have to try to be a different person. Like, you know, all the other things she did, like, she wasn't giving stucco to be for acknowledgement. Like, she didn't want acknowledgement. There were two reasons. There was number one, because it was the right thing to do, and number two, as tremendous hakaras hatov to Kadosh Baruch Hu, like, really, like, that generation, like, I guess the people who came from the war, who, like, they really understood, like, what it meant. Like, they appreciate it. Like, even us, like, going through Corona, like, realizing, like, the world is totally flipped upside down. Like, we don't have that level of appreciation as someone who came literally with nothing, who lost their entire family. Like, you know, he came with these massive, massive, I was talking to that guy in shul today, his dad had 13 siblings. He had, when this guy was alive, he was born in the mid-40s, he had two uncles. So 13 siblings, like two uncles, like, you know, you lost everyone. Like, you know, you totally came from, those who came from Poland, like, you know, understand that. Like, you lost everything. So to come with, literally it's a chiddush, you were alive with nothing, and to, like, build yourself up, it's like, to Kadosh Baruch Hu, thank you very much for allowing me, like, look where I am today, and look where I was, you know, 5, 10, 15, whatever amount of years ago before. So just, like, about being real. So, right, maybe 1, 2, 3, all those messages, you guys could take to heart, and my grandmother's in Shama, Shem, and Aliyah, you can feel free to have, more of the cookies.